Hey everyone, this is Andy, better known as Love Retro BTW on Twitter, X, Threads, IG, and Cafe BTW on TikTok and YouTube. A quick update that the Cafe BTW podcast is taking a very long hiatus, but I still have something really amazing to share with you. We have a fantastic retro gaming community on Twitter X, where we've crossed well over 2,000 passionate members. And if you're a lover of retro gaming, this is the perfect place to share your content, showcase your pickups, or just chat about your favorite old school games. To dive into nostalgia and become a part of the thriving community, click in the show notes on the Cafe BTW link tree or go right to my Twitter X profile on Love Retro BTW. And now, without further ado, gear up for another sensational episode of the Gamers Week Podcast.
This time on Gamers Week Podcast.
Okay, everybody, my name is Donnie G Retro, and we are live on Twitch. We are here at the Blockbuster World Video Game Championships 4. And as I just said, my name is Donnie G Retro, and I am part of a trio of amazing people called the Gamers Week Podcast. And we are your official hosts this year. So today we are at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo at the Blockbuster World Video Game Championships number 4. And this is day 2. We are now down to, what, 64 entries?
Top 64.
Top 64.
Competing right now. The last couple of contestants going right now. And then the top 16 will go into the finals. And what are they playing for?
They're going to be playing for 3 excellent prizes. So third place is going to get $300. Second place is going to get $500. And our winner is going to get $1,500. And an awesome prize delivered straight from Blockbuster.
Do you think these prizes from Blockbuster include any unwound VHS tapes?
Well, I would hope not, because everyone should be kind and rewind.
I'm hoping that I, like, all of my typing and clicking and all that stuff will not pick up on this particular episode because I changed the gain on voice meter for my microphone.
Noise.
Whatever you were just typing sounded just as loud as always. I don't want to discourage you.
The question is, do you have your cell phone on the desk?
Right. We got to get that little...
Not anymore.
Because last time I was editing an uncut episode, it was... It's like, damn, Donnie's popular.
Nobody said it was his phone.
It's got one of those remote things, right?
Yep.
Wife just buzzing it.
Kids pick it up. What's this?
It's a remote Michigan strawberry.
What is the fuck is a Michigan strawberry?
Donaldo, you sound really, really far away.
Let me know when it gets better, okay?
Not yet.
Not yet.
A little higher. You can take me higher.
You know, you do look a little bit like Scott Stapp.
F*** you.
Scusi. Welcome to Gamers Week Podcast. Like the name says, we analyze the best, worst, and weirdest headlines of the past week in the video game industry. This is episode 94, and today is Wednesday, October 18th, 2023. My name is Donnie G Retro, and I will be your host this evening. But I am not alone. I am not alone. I have here with me my first co-host, as you can hear her chuckle. Nope's out of a lame situation quicker than Usain Bolt runs the 100-meter dash. We have with us this evening Blue Williams, a.k.a. Writer's View, fresh back from PRGE 2023. Blue, how are you doing this evening?
I'm not going to apologize for noping out of a lame situation. I think that more people should embrace noping out. It's a form of self-care.
It is a lifestyle.
Yes.
The kids call it noping out. When I was younger, it was called an Irish goodbye.
It's like, where did Ryan go? Like, I don't know. He didn't even say goodbye. Well, my second co-host, as you can hear him, you know as Rye Bread, but he will now be known as his evil moniker, Moist Bread. Mr. Ryan Payne, a.k.a. Retro Game Brews, a.k.a. Moist Bread. How are you this evening, fresh back from PRGE 2023?
I'm feeling quite slippery, thank you. Ooh. Oh,
no. Quite slippery. A lot of vinegar and oil you're drenched in, or is it au jus? Don't answer that.
Well, I have been called a dip before.
Is your nickname the dip? Oh my God, it's dip! Well, let's get started by taking a look at our review. Well, let's get started. Jesus, come on.
We've been too long away from the show. Donnie forgot how to podcast.
Right. Let's get started and take a look at our reviews, reactions, and requests. At SassySony007 says, love the Nostalgia 101 segment. Even my little one was asking to see what these game shows were like. Time to bring up YouTube. At Eric Albean says, wow, you guys have never all met in person before? Your reactions and relationships on the podcast feel like you've known each other all your lives. Love the show.
These two are somehow my soulmates, which is terrifying.
We are like one big Oreo cookie. But who's in the middle?
That's I was going to say, who's the cream?
And at DavyPGH says, what an amazing weekend with my friend Ducks in Disguise and getting a chance to see behind the scenes at PixelPon. Big shout out to the Gamers Week and Redox PDX for letting me be part of this awesome experience at PRGE this year. Probably the best weekend of my life. Well said, Davey PGH.
Well said. And we won't even tell your wife that you said that or either of your kids.
Right.
I do have to give a heartfelt thank you to Davey. He was instrumental in getting things done. He was helping out at every moment that, you know, the live stream and the Blockbuster Video Game World or World Video Game Championships was going on. So, Davey, thank you so much, bud.
Yes. Thank you, Davey.
Absolutely.
And now it's time for the
oh man, sounds like my bathroom in the morning.
Hello, Twitter. I'm a friend. I'd like to help you.
You might loosen the straps then.
Oh. I'm afraid you might hurt yourself, Twitter. You've done so much damage already. You let people pay to be verified. You limited the number of tweets people can see in a day. Now you're trying to charge people to use the platform.
I'm not Twitter.
It's a demon.
I'm X the devil.
Where's Twitter?
In here, with us.
Show me Twitter, and I'll loosen one of the straps.
Your mother's in here with us. Would you like to leave a message? I'll see that she gets it.
Oh, wow.
If that's true, then you must know my mother's Twitter address. What is it?
I know your mother's OnlyFans address.
Very well. You leave me no choice but to post this.
What an excellent day for a very important poll.
Gamers Week uses a very important poll to connect with their listeners and encourage fun discussions. You'd like that?
Intensely.
But wouldn't that drive you out of Twitter?
It would bring us together.
You and Twitter?
Gamers Week and us.
How long are you planning to stay in Twitter?
Until it rots and lies stinking in the earth.
Oh, wow.
Take me! Come into me! God damn you! Take me! Take me!
No!
That was very dark and well done.
Right? Oh my God. Perfect for spooky season. Yes.
Right. Yeah, I figured, you know, Halloween coming up, it's about time we had an Exorcist skit.
I was waiting for a f- me, Twitter f- me.
There's a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor. We'll just right. put it that way. All right. Every Monday on Twitter, we post our VIP. That is our very important poll. And if you'd like to participate, follow us on Twitter at GamersWeekPC. So the question this week, what is the worst item in Mario Kart? Coming in third place, we have Lightning with 15.4% of the votes. Second place was the Blue Shell with 25.3%. And the winner was the Coin with a whopping 51% of the votes. We also had 8.3% of people vote other. So let's look at some of the comments from the poll. At Eakin Martin says, the feather, which I will agree, that was super lame. At Mario Michael says, I complain every time the lightning gets used, so it's definitely that for me. At Big Bro Gogo said, the freaking blooper, just not even close to helpful if you know the track even slightly. At Hawk Hellfire says, banana barrel cannon. And at Sky Blue Monty says, the entire game. Who wants to go around in circles? Just let me out of the damn car to stump them. That's harsh.
What's the blooper?
The squid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hate getting ink in my eyes.
Yeah, that's the worst. It stings. Mm-hmm. So how did you vote in the poll, Ryan?
So for me, this is just my experience. So not that I would use this item, but when it is used, because I always seem to be in the worst possible space for this to happen. I'm going over a long, you know, gap between, you know, sections of the course and boom, lightning hits me. I'm reduced to being small. I lose all my items. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, it's not somebody who I'm actually playing with. It happens to be the CPU who gets me. And I fucking hate it so much. So I'm going to go with the lightning on this one.
Yeah, the lightning, it freaking sucks. It's on my short list of things that need to be nerfed in Mario Kart 9. But I will at least give them credit in the last update that they did it to where if you're going over a glider jump and the lightning hits, it no longer just drops you out of the sky.
Right.
You at least get to keep your glider. So that was something. But yeah, totally. The lightning is still terrible.
They need to do the same update with red shells if you're doing a jump or something like that so that it doesn't...
I really like knocking people out of the sky with red shells, though.
It's annoying when you get knocked out of the sky.
Yes.
The red shell is different, though, because with the lightning, everyone gets zapped all at the same time.
Yes. So
it's just, you know...
That's true. That's true.
Some people want to see the world just burn.
My choice, however, is the coin. The coin is absolutely worthless. If you're in first place, you want something to be able to protect your behind. And what do? They give you a freaking coin. And you're like, oh, great. What am I going to do with this? I it doesn't make any sense to hold on to it, but it kind of does. Because if you go and get another box, then you can hit that coin, activate it, and then it would give you another item besides a coin. But still... Right. Give me something that's going to help me in my time of need to hold down first place. The coin just doesn't do it. So I hate the coin. That's the only item in this game that I absolutely find completely worthless.
Actually.
Oh my God.
Here it comes.
Actually.
I mean, it's not completely worthless because it does make you a little bit faster. There's a big difference between in your speed between having 0 coins and 10 coins.
Is there a significant difference between 0 coins and 1 coin?
No.
There you go. If I get hit with the lightning strike and I've got no coins and all of a sudden I pick up a coin, what's that going to do for me?
You have to pick up 10 coins.
I will pick up 10 coins on the track. Just don't give me a coin from a box.
All right. Personal preference.
Blue, what about you?
So I went with the Crazy 8. Mario Kart 7 had the Crazy 7. And... you would think that it wouldn't be so bad, right? Because it's one of 8 different items. And in theory, it should be a cinch to improve your standing with that much stuff. But really, it's so chaotic. It's so difficult to use properly. And it's not really the stuff that you actually need. The best thing to do with it is just spam it until you get the star and hope you don't blow yourself up with the bomb before you get the star. It would be far more helpful to just give them a star.
I would tend to agree with that because it's you're taking your focus away from the track and what's going on, and you're trying to look at the spinning items on the Crazy Eight to see if you can time it correctly so to use that one particular item, right? To get the most benefit mm-hmm. out of having the Crazy Eight. But typically, I always miss it. I always I don't hit the button at the right time, and then all of a sudden I run into something or a shell comes and hits me, and I just get completely flustered. So I wouldn't say it's completely useless, but it's up there.
This is just coming to my head right now. That it's a phrase. What you know? It's, it goes, get good.
That's bold talk from Mr. Doesn't even play Mario Kart.
That's right. Like, so I can criticize.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't care to put the time into it that you cold head put in.
And now let's take a look at our patron shoutouts.
Well, we couldn't do what we do without the help of our gorgeous patrons. Here are the generous folks supporting Gamers Week on Patreon. BNT Zilla Guy, The Mad Milkman, Johnny Boombots, Seven Castle Forest, Crunchy Kong, Sheriff Snacks, Frank Grande, Love Retro BTW, Steven Stan, Ramboski, Terry Kinnair, Doongie Forever, Ludo Timbo, Ducks in Disguise, Don't Make Me Pull Over This Car, Games with Coffee, Hybrid Divide, Maddo 1606, You Fall Before Me, DDPGH, The Redox Family, including Shannon and Luke, Shell Azeal, Zach Huge Think, Number One Blue Six Voice Fan, Sassy Sony, Evo Lust, Rai Rai's Secret Best Friend, Mega Retroman, Gamma Troid, Michael LeKite, Emo S, Bill Tucker, The Real Retro Game Brews, Fruitcakes, Pickled Pepper, Ducks with Thick Thighs, Wizard of Zardoz, Bobson Dugnut, Retro Blast Pat, and Great Siaman 81. If you like what you hear today, we really hope you do, please consider joining us on Patreon. Your support helps cover the cost of producing the show, as well as other cool stuff we'll be doing like prizes and giveaways. You also gain access to our weekly patron-only bonus cast called Gamers Week Uncut, Patrons with Benefits. Visit patreon.com/gamersweek or follow the link in the show notes to learn more.
Now let's move on to our headlines for the week. Our headline segment is proudly sponsored by the Retro Game Club podcast. It's a fantastic family-friendly retro gaming podcast. In each episode, Rob and Hugh pick two games to play and discuss, as well as news, interviews, and other topics. Right now, they want to know, what do you consider the best method for retro gaming? Emulation? FPGA? Original hardware? Or something else? Send your answers to email at retrogameclub.net or follow the link in the show notes. What's FPGA again?
Field Programmable Gate Array. It's what you find on like a RetroTINK or a FrameMeister. It basically turns the output from your game into HDMI, and they're very expensive.
Oh, okay. I've never even heard of it, so that's probably not my choice.
Well, have you heard of like the analog systems, you know, where they do like, so the analog Super Nintendo that's out there?
Yeah, or the analog Pocket.
Pocket's a little different, but I think maybe that still uses FPGA. But okay. Basically, it's a thing that internally turns what would be analog output into HDMI.
I think that would probably be Ryan's favorite for the new analog 64 system they just announced. Ooh, Ryan's yes. favorite way to play 64 games.
Hate you guys. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You're right.
All right, first up tonight from IGN, Sony confirms PS5 Slim for this holiday season. Sony has confirmed the heavily rumored PlayStation 5 Slim, which is due out for this holiday season. The smaller PS5 design comes with 1 terabyte storage for the PS5 and PS5 Digital Edition, up from 825 gigabytes in the original versions of the console. And the new model provides the option to add an Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive to the PS5 Digital Edition. In a post on the PlayStation blog, Sid Schumann, Senior Director of SIE Content Communications, said Sony created this new PS5 to address the evolving needs of players. Our engineering and design teams collaborated on the new form factor that provides greater choice and flexibility, Schumann said. The new PS5 has been reduced in volume by more than 30% and weight by 18% and 24% compared to the previous models, Sony said. There are four separate cover panels with the top portion in a glossy look, while the bottom remains in matte. If you buy the PS5 Digital Edition, you can add the Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive for PS5 later, as it will also be sold separately for $79.99. The new PS5 model will be available starting this November in the U.S. at select local retailers and direct.playstation.com where available, Sony added. It will continue to roll out globally in the months that follow. Once inventory of the current PS5 model has sold out, the new PS5 will become the only model available. It's worth noting the PS5 digital model has gone up in price with the introduction of the slim version. The original PS5 digital edition cost $399.99, whereas the slimmer PS5 digital edition cost $449.99. This means the slimmer PS5 with a disc drive costs $50 more than the slimmer PS5 digital edition. Daniel Ahmed, Director of Research and Insights at Nico Partners, tweeted to say this is more indicative of Sony's current thinking around its approach for next gen. If the new digital edition does gain traction and we see a continued trajectory of increased digital software sell-through, then I wouldn't be surprised if Sony makes digital plus disk drive add-on the default option for next gen.
So charging you more for less?
Seems to be Sony's MO lately. I just got to say, I got to give credit to the PlayStation 5. You know, it went out, decided to change its diet a little bit. You know, it's working out, it's exercising, dropping a little weight, you know.
Adding a little muscle.
Right. And then, you know, saying, you know, I'm more valuable now. I'm going to be, you know, I'm not going to accept any less.
Because it got out of the abusive relationship where its partner didn't appreciate it. So
So good for the PlayStation 5.
You know, I got to admit, it's slightly tempting to have one that's smaller. So not like you have freaking Shamu sitting right front and center of your living room. Have it be smaller. Have it be lighter. Have it be shiny on the top. Ooh. And the 1 terabyte of storage. That would be awesome because the A25, that's not cutting it even a little bit.
So what you're saying is I need to basically hop on eBay the day after Christmas so that I could purchase a used PlayStation 5 Fat Boy at extremely reduced rate because everybody's trying to get rid of theirs.
Well, yes and no, because it says that once the current stock of the, I guess, launch PS5, once that those sell out, there won't be any more. So
yeah, no. But that's only nerds like us that know that.
Then the slim version will be the standard.
Right. But does that make the original a collector's item?
Possibly. I mean, in the world of retro collection, it of course it is.
25 million units sold. Yes, yeah. Very, very rare.
You're now at the PS5. You're not at the PS4. The PS3 actually came with, what, 500 gig at one point?
I think you're right.
Not the next console, but the console after that. You know that storage is a premium. People want storage. All these games that are now big chonkers that fit on your system, they take up all of that space. So even 1 terabyte is kind of just like, it's not really cutting it anymore. Give that to us as a baseline instead of 825 gig. Come on, man.
You know, it's funny if you think about it. If you would have told me in 1995 that 1 terabyte wouldn't be enough for storage of games, I would be like, you're a freaking liar. Nowadays.
I mean, remember when the original PS3 came out with 60 gig?
Yes.
Like the launch model was 60 gig.
I have a Xbox 360 sitting on my shelf that's 4 gig.
Wow.
I will say, though, I have a hard time believing that anybody's going to purchase a digital if it's just $50 less. What's the incentive to buy it now that it's only 50 bucks less than the the full thing?
That actually will be an interesting experiment to see if people still, like you said, are buying the digital edition, even though it's not that much cheaper. And they're adding this HD Blu-ray drive on the side, I guess, to help prevent buyer's remorse.
So many people buy Blu-rays nowadays.
Right. Now it's Ultra HD Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I mean, like this analyst kind of says at the end of the article, this very well could determine where Sony goes with future generations, is what the sales of these models tell them.
Meaning if they see more sales in the digital edition, then they know that they could probably start phasing out physical medium.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
If this is something that Sony really does want to do, which we've discussed before, that we're sure that they do want to go forward with digital only. I like the idea of having a disc drive add-on.
Yeah, I do too. I like rather than two separate consoles that you purchase, having one where if I want the digital drive, then I can purchase it for a premium price.
I mean, it'll be kind of annoying to now not have one thing sitting on your shelf, but two things sitting on your shelf.
That is true as well.
I guess at least it would be a choice.
So a choice to recreate the Tower of Power?
That would be awesome if it like snapped on the top. That would be so cool.
It's like, oh, but wait, there's more. There's another add-on that you can have. There's an eye camera. And you're like, holy crap.
On top of that is the Blu-ray player.
I take it back. I'm in. I'm 100% in.
How big is this Transformer going to get?
All right, next up from Eurogamer, Activision. Activision hired James Corden to host employee meetings with Bobby Kotick. Freed from his tenure as a U.S. talk show host, Gavin and Stacey star James Corden yesterday teamed up with the controversial boss Bobby Kotick to host a town hall meeting for Activision Blizzard employees. The internal event held days before Microsoft expected to close its $69 billion takeover of the company was not available to view publicly, but Windows Central has reported on what was discussed. Kotick reportedly reminisced about Activision's journey as a company so far and also dropped several hints about its future, including an intriguing mention of the long dormant Guitar Hero franchise. There does not seem to be any mention made of a potential exit by Kotick following Microsoft's acquisition of the business. There also does not seem to have been any mention made of the company's various harassment scandals. When asked by James Corden how Activision will retain the company's culture while part of Microsoft, Kotick told the Cats star that the company had a magic and special culture. And that was the same magic which had attracted Microsoft. Looking into the future of gaming, Kotick and Cold Corden, he expected devices akin to Elon Musk's Neuralink, an implantable brain-computer interface to push things forward. I think you'll see things like Neuralink. You'll actually be able to interact with things on the screen where there isn't a controller, Kotick said, noting that this could mean a headset, earpiece, or other types of sensor. Kotick said that he was keen to see Activision titles, the very best franchises in all of video games, backed by the development research and resources of Microsoft. The reemergence of Guitar Hero and other things would not be possible without the different types of resources, he noted. Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard this week closed a 20-month chapter of court hearings and regulatory hurdles as it finally takes ownership of everything from Call of Duty to Candy Crush. Activision has said not to expect its new games on Xbox Pass immediately. However,
if you think you're getting our games for free, you're smoking something.
Is this like a new thing where you hire celebrities to help make your meetings seem better than they are?
And of all people, James Corden?
That's an interesting choice.
But wasn't he involved in some sort of scandal or something like that that would make this like kind of, I don't know, I thought he was.
Joke stealing accusations. I don't know, throwing a fit at a restaurant. I mean, compared to what Activision is dealing with, that doesn't seem so bad.
Right.
It's like, oh, you did that, James? Wait till you see the skeletons in our closet. Yeah.
Hold our collective beer.
Right.
So interesting that they're bringing Guitar Hero back. They probably should have brought that back in 2020 when everybody was buying a Guitar Hero guitar to play because they were bored at home.
Or trying to.
Right. Or trying to because they now all of a sudden cost $200 on eBay.
But with the fact that they're talking about different devices, what device could they possibly have in mind for the reemergence of the Guitar Hero series and not actually a physical guitar?
Activision Neuralink.
Oh, there you go.
Because if I'm going to let anybody implant something into my brain, it's going to be Elon Musk and Activision. What could go wrong?
Oh, God, that just gave me chills. When are you getting your surgery for Activision? Oh, it's in 3 weeks. I've been waiting.
You know, insurance won't cover that.
What? But I signed up for Xbox Game Pass.
But you can pay for it with your Xbox credit card.
Man, I'm going to get so many points. It's awesome.
So Kotick is stepping down.
No, he's not.
I thought he was.
We thought he was, but then he keeps not doing it.
Ah, okay.
It's the Michael Jordan.
There you go.
Or the Vladimir Putin.
Oh, Jesus. You know, it's probably a more apt analogy.
I don't really get this whole thing.
And I wouldn't imagine that Mr. Corden comes at a very low price as well to show up on your Zoom call to hype people up.
Like, what would be some obscure 80s or 90s celebrity that, like, washed up celebrity that they could have drug out of the woodwork for, like, 10 bucks and a ham sandwich? Like, hey, come speak to our employee team.
Oiled up sax man from
that
Lost Boys.
That is exactly what I was going to say. The saxophone guy from Lost Boys.
I still believe. No, instead of wasting that money on James Corden, do something nice for your employees.
Right.
I'm not talking about a pizza party, but maybe a very nice buffet spread with crab legs and lobster and steak and stuff like that. You know, that kind of tells me, if I had that as an employee from a company, that would show that I'm appreciated as opposed to some $5 hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars.
Man, this spread tastes way better than James Corden showing up.
It's like, I'll come and speak to them, but I will not do any karaoke. Don't ask me and don't get anyone started on it.
That was a perfect James Corden.
It was a perfect James Corden. And if James doesn't like the buffet spread, whew, look out.
Up next, from Games Radar, Super Mario Brothers Wonder devs were allowed to prioritize content over schedule. So they ended up with 2,000 sticky notes of inspiration. In a recent Ask the Developer post on Nintendo's official site, the creative team at Nintendo EPD spoke about the unorthodox development process for Super Mario Bros. Wonder, which allowed the devs to experiment, build new technology, and not worry about hitting a schedule. During the developer Q&A, Super Mario Bros. Wonder game designer Koichi Hayashida spoke about how the game's development differed from other entries in the series. After work on Super Mario Maker 2, the development team felt a change was needed for the next game, and they began an unorthodox development process. This also meant building a new 2D Mario engine from scratch to convey the game's vision better. Yes, I remember Shiro Mori-san saying during the early stages of development that we shouldn't use the same game engine as in the new Super Mario Bros. Series, but rather create a new game engine that would serve as a foundation for future 2D Mario games, said Hayashida. Thankfully, Takashi Tezuki-san also told us to prioritize content over schedule. According to Hayashida, the number of ideas they had when making ballooned over the extended creative period, so much so that their wall of sticky notes of ideas were over 2,000. In a follow-up, producer Takashi Tezuka stated that they spent more time developing and finding the creative angle for Wonder than any other recent 2D game. We wanted to create a game with much more to offer than ever before, so this time we didn't set a fixed period for development, which is usually decided before we kick off, said the producer. To create something truly enjoyable, we decided to take our time and dedicate ample budget for development without having to worry about the production schedule. So at first, we only had a small group working on the development. And I got to say, I kind of like this idea.
Yeah, I absolutely 100% love this idea. So Google used to do something similar. I don't know if they still do, but they used to have this thing called 20% time. So 80% of your workday was based around what you were, you know, assigned. And then you had 20% of your schedule to do whatever you wanted, right? And that's where a lot
whatever
of the
whatever you wanted?
Well, that was, right. within the context of something that would be valuable to Google.
I mean, you can spin a lot of things that direction.
You could, but the thing that was interesting about it is that it, a lot of the cool things that came out of Google back, especially in like the 2010s, was really based around this idea of the 20% time. So things like Google News and a few others were a result of people just following their passions when it came to work. And it sounds to me like this is not exactly the same, but it's similar, where you allow people to be creative and don't punish them because you have a deadline that you need to hit. Reward them for coming up and brainstorming and trying to figure out how to make the best game possible.
Of course.
So that's almost like taking the like typical corporate bullshit out of the equation and creating something special. I haven't played the game, so I don't know if it's any good, though. So I hope that it's an absolute banger and that people love it and that this becomes part of how the industry works. I would wait much longer for a game if I knew that the people were treated well, that they got to be creative, and what was coming out of that creativity was truly something special.
I have heard that the reviews on this game are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I saw it today at the kiosk at a local Target. And I wanted to sit there and play it. I just didn't really have the time to. It looked amazing. I'm eager to sit down and play it. And here's the thing with deadlines. You know, deadlines can be good. I think that sometimes a deadline can stifle that creativeness. But it also, if left unchecked, then it's like a herd of cats that you just cannot wrangle in. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their creative input. You have over 2,000 sticky notes. It's like, oh man, we have all these banger ideas. Well, we don't have a deadline. We could try each and every one. Next thing you know, you're running into a 10-15 year project. So sure. Deadlines can be a little bit of a good thing, but not to the point where it stifles creativity.
Or creates the crunch that we see in every developer out there.
True, absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I think that's why what makes this so newsworthy is the video game news cycle is so often focused on crunch, on layoffs, on budgets, on games that were rushed out and failed to meet expectations. And so on the one hand, like, it's really amazing for Nintendo to allow their developers the room to breathe, the room to think, the room to create and not pressure them too much. And then it seems like the early reviews of Mario Wonder are showing that pays off. Now, of course, we have to acknowledge that not all developers, in fact, I would say the vast majority of developers do not have the budget to be able to do something like this.
Correct.
So there's a lot to be said for the security and the legacy that Nintendo is working with that lets mm-hmm. them do something like this.
But the one thing that I think is cool about this is the 2,000 sticky notes. You got to imagine that there are ideas that just didn't work with Super Mario Wonder, but could work in something else. And
of course,
video games have a long history of taking ideas from one thing and putting it into another project. So by doing something like this, you're actually creating some longevity for Nintendo. Because if the idea just is good, just doesn't fit the mold of what we want to do, you can bring that into something that will fit.
And I am looking forward to this because, like, this is a not really a reboot, but like a refresh of the Mario series. And that comes with a lot of risks, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm glad to see that so far word is that it's successful. And I can't wait to play it myself this weekend and find out for sure.
That's right. It does come out this weekend, doesn't it?
It does.
Perfect
Which
segue.
We're going to talk about
right
now.
All right, let's take a look at our top three new releases for the week.
All right, we have an epic week this week as far as game releases. First up is Marvel's Spider-Man 2 out on PS5. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, and Miles Morales return for an exciting new adventure in the critically acclaimed Marvel Spider-Man franchise for PS5. Swing, jump, and utilize the new web wings to travel across Marvel's New York, quickly switching between Peter Parker and Miles Morales to experience different stories and epic new powers as the iconic villain Venom threatens to destroy their lives, their city, and the ones they love. Next up is Sonic Superstars, out on PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Adventure through the mystical North Star Islands in this all-new take on classic 2D Sonic high-speed action platforming. Play as Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Amy, and harness all-new Emerald powers to move and attack in dynamic new ways. Navigate gorgeous, never-before-seen environments solo or with up to three other players, and stop Dr. Eggman, Fang, and a mysterious new adversary from converting the island's giant animals into badniks before it's too late. And finally, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, out on Switch. Classic Mario gameplay is turned on its head with Wonder Flowers in the Super Mario Bros. Wonder game. These game-changing items can make some wonderfully weird stuff happen. Witness pipes coming alive, wreak havoc as a giant spike ball, and lots more. You can team up with up to three friends locally on one Nintendo Switch system and race through these worlds together, or play with others online. So out of these three, what are you going to pick up, Donnie?
A new Sonic game? A new Super Mario Brothers game? What year is it? I gotta be honest. It's going to be tough to decide this week. Looking forward to Spider-Man 2 for quite some time, even though I haven't finished the original Spider-Man. My son, however, has platinumed that game, and he is dying to get his hands on Spider-Man 2. However, he won't be able to get it until Christmas. Sonic Superstar. He's been dropping subtle hints like he knows. And this thing has been secretly stashed away to where he can't find it. So I don't really – I'm on the fence as to what he really knows.
He actually listens to Gamers Week and you just don't know.
That's right. That's the problem.
Kids never poke around in their parents' closet. It's fine.
I found so many things as a kid. Sonic Superstars looks good, not so much that I want to go out and buy it the day one of launch. Super Mario Brothers Wonder, however, does look like I want to grab that and snag that as soon as it comes out. So I got to be honest, out of all three, it's a tough decision.
All right. What about you, Ryan?
So I would love to play Marvel Spider-Man 2, but I don't own a PS5, so that is a no for me. But I do think that utilizing the Miles Morales kind of sub-story when it comes to Spider-Man is actually a really cool thing, because Miles Morales lives within a universe where there are multiple Spider-Men and he interacts with them all the time. So I think that's kind of a cool element to this, is that we're bringing in more characters to this franchise. I think it only can get better from there. But as far as the games I can actually play, Sonic and Mario, wow, coming out at the same week.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, based off of just, you know, what we were talking about before in the latest topic, I think that I'm going to be leaning more towards Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I like how it was developed. I would like to show my support for something like that. So it's not about gameplay, because all of three of these are bangers. It's just what I feel as though is a priority right now. And that's why Super Mario Brothers Wonder gets my vote.
Blue, what about you? What's your choice for this week?
Well, I'm going to be the one to say no on Spider-Man. I apologize. I do have the first Spider-Man because it came in the bundle that we got our PS5 with, but I've never touched it. Just not my thing. So between the other two, Sonic Superstars looks amazing. Super Mario Wonder looks amazing. But let's talk about which one I actually pre-ordered, which was Super Mario Wonder. I mean, come on. You don't miss the launch of a new Mario game. You just don't.
No.
So I will get Sonic Superstars probably at some point. Maybe it'll go on sale Black Friday or something like that. But this weekend definitely will be all about Super Mario Wonder.
Before we move on to our main topic, let's take a quick break to talk about our sponsor. This segment is proudly sponsored by A Gamer Looks at 40 podcast. The show explores the history of video games through the stories and experiences of the people who lived it. Join host Bill Tucker, along with a rotating cast of friends, family, podcasters, journalists, and anybody with a story to tell, as they go beyond the bits and bytes to share personal recollections of the last 30 years of gaming. This week, Bill is interviewing ex-EA developers Troy Linden and Richard Heileman as they discuss the birth, tech, and legacy of the groundbreaking Madden franchise. Let Bill know your memories of playing Madden by sending him a tweet at @gamerslooks40 on Twitter.
So I loved Madden when I was a kid, and there's a reason behind that. The Bills were actually good back in the early 90s. So when I would log in to play as the Bills, I felt comfortable. I felt proud to be a Bills fan. Any Madden after 98 up until recently, that's a difficult pill to swallow.
So much so that they made it to back-to-back Super Bowls, if I'm correct?
Four. So back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
But how many did they win? I don't remember. How many did they win?
I don't remember either. I was too young. I suppressed those memories.
Great excuse.
Yep.
Okay, everybody. My name is Donnie G Retro, and we are live on Twitch. We are here at the Blockbuster World Video Game Championships 4. And as I just said, my name is Donnie G Retro, and I am part of a trio of amazing people called the Gamers Week Podcast. And we are your official hosts this year. So today we are at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo at the Blockbuster World Video Game Championships number 4. And this is day 2. We are now down to what, 64 entries?
Top 64.
Top 64.
Competing right now, the last couple of contestants going right now. And then the top 16 will go into the finals. And what are they playing for?
They're going to be playing for 3 excellent prizes. So third place is going to get $300. Second place is going to get $500. And our winner is going to get $1,500. And an awesome prize delivered straight from Blockbuster.
Do you think these prizes from Blockbuster include any unwound VHS tapes?
Well, I would hope not, because everyone should be kind and rewind.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to our main topic for the week. We are going to recap our adventures this past weekend at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo 2023.
So, Blue, you got to Portland pretty early.
Yeah, I went a couple days early because I have a family there, and it's been a while since I've been in Portland, so I just wanted to explore the city. So we showed up a couple days early, spent some time with Ducks in Disguise and Red Ox of Pixel Pond, who were the ones who invited us up to PRGE to host the Blockbuster World Video Game Championships for. So we hung out with them, had dinner, spent some time playing some games. It was a fun time. And then these two started to arrive.
Oh, so we ruined it?
It was a good thing until these jerks showed up.
Right. Jerk store called, and they're running out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got in on Thursday, got into Portland, and realized that the MAX line right there at the airport was closed.
Yes.
So it's like, okay. And, you know, common sense wasn't really taking over at that point. I'm just like kind of wandering around like, oh my God, what do I do? I'm so lost. Like, no, I've got a phone. I could call an Uber. I could look up information on Google as far as taxi or what have you. But I'm just kind of wandering around like I look like, what's his name? John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, just like kind of looking around like, what do I do? And I see this guy wearing a transit coat and whatnot. And he's just sitting right there in a chair. And I'm like, excuse me, sir, the MAX line is closed. And he's like, yeah, for about another 2 weeks. I'm like, huh, how am I going to get to the hotel? And he just kind of looks at me. And he's like, well, the shuttle right here will take you to the next station. And I was like, oh, okay, great. So I just hopped on this shuttle, and all these other people started hopping on too. And then the shuttle takes off and it starts driving us around the airport to these different stops. And I'm like, the first stop, we're like, okay, do we get off here? He's like, no, it's going to be in a couple of stops. Well, a couple typically means like 2 or 3. After like 4 or 5 stops, still no tram station. And we're just like, maybe I should probably get off and then call an Uber from here. But luckily, the next station that he did stop off was right there at the tram station, and I was able to get to the hotel. But hang out with Blue and Mr. Blue, go to dinner, have some drinks, and then everybody starts showing up on Friday, where we were able to go into the convention center and actually see PRGE, start seeing the soundstage and everything for the Blockbuster Video Game World Championships, meet up with Red Ox and Ducks and Snacks and Emo. They come in, and then Ryan comes in late Friday night.
It's true. I came in late Friday night and I had the exact same experience as you, except I got off at the third station and decided that I was going to check to see how much an Uber was from there, because it was over $40 from the airport.
Yeah.
But at that third station, it was only $19. So hopped in an Uber, made my way to the hotel, got checked in, and then walked over to the Oregon Convention Center, which is so close to the hotel. I absolutely loved that. Get in. I call you. I think I called up Donnie. And he's like, oh, just go down the stairs. Well, there's two sets of stairs. So I chose, of course, the wrong one. And he's like, I should see you by now. And I was like, I don't see you. So I double backed, went down the other stairs. And of course, I can hear from all the way down the hall, Donnie and a few other people going, RGP!
That's exactly how I sounded.
Yep,
it is. I was there.
Donnie decides that he would like to test my lower back, jumps into my arms. We have a swinging embrace, and then we were off to the races. So
it was beautiful.
It was. It was magical. We posted it on Twitter. Feel free to check out my Twitter handle if you want to see it.
What's funny is that Blue and I had that. We had been discussing this for quite some time about how I was going to see you. And because you had told her that you were going to give her a big hug. And I'm like, wait a second, what about me? Like, this guy didn't even want to hug me the first time that I met him. Like, this is what you get? It's like, okay, fine. I was like, I'm going to test him. And of course, it was like, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to jump into his arms. I'm going to jump into his arms and wrap my legs around him, and I'll see what he does. And I didn't know if you were going to shy away and let me fall flat on my face, but you took it like a champ. You grabbed me, you got two hands right on the ham hocks and just like squeezed and held me. And it was great.
It was fantastic. And after that, nothing lived up to that. So we can pretty much done talking about this experience.
Right. Because when we said we were going to recap PRGE, what everybody really wanted to hear about was how difficult it was for you two to take a train. Right.
So, Blue, with being your first big convention, what did you think about the experience?
Well, definitely when I walked in on Thursday before everything was getting started, it was mostly empty. There was tables and everything, and you could really, really get a sense of the size of the convention hall that they were hosting everything in. It was huge. And there was so much activity going on with all the vendors trying to get set up and all the different shows getting set up. Pixelpon, they introduced us to Rex Viper, which if you don't know, that is James Rolfe, Angry Video Game Nerd's band. So we met all those guys several times. They were super, super nice. And then we got to go and see the stage and just looking at the scale of it and lights everywhere and all the different ways that they had done it up. It was like, wow, it's kind of starting to feel real. That's neat.
anxiety.
And then the next day we came in, we started to see on Friday there was more lights. There was even more people. There was chairs set up, something like 400 some chairs set up in front of the stage and some cameras. We were meant to do a sound check, and then I don't think ever really did. And then eventually the arcade opened up, which was super cool. Lots of arcade cabinets, lots of pinball machines, consoles set up around TVs, and standing inside the doors because we had VIP passes. So watching when they opened the doors for the first time and like the stampede of people coming in to do the arcade day, that was really cool.
So we all decided on Friday to head up to the top of the hotel. We grabbed some dinner, and I think everybody was pretty exhausted at that point. So we headed to bed. And then the next day, we showed up kind of ready to go. Donnie printed out some really cool t-shirts, as well as gave myself and Blue a brand new hoodie, which I'm actually wearing right now because it's now my favorite hoodie.
I was wearing it yesterday.
That's funny.
My wife actually, she was asking if I had another one. She's like, that one looks so soft. I'm like, nope, just for me, Blue and Ryan.
And so We got there on Saturday, and you know, it was an interesting kind of feeling. It was almost like nobody really knew what to do. So as we're walking in, you know, we're getting excited about this idea that we're going to start hosting. We got there pretty early because it started, what, like 12:30? Is it what's supposed to start?
Correct.
Right. So we got there probably around 9:30. So got used to the space, trying to figure out exactly how we wanted to start things off and kind of getting things, you know, prepared and ready to go. but there was some technical difficulties.
Correct. And we, as the podcast, were invited there as talent, right? And I don't say that in a snippy sort of uppity way. That's exactly what it was. We were
in a way of like throwing a fit at a restaurant kind of celebrity.
Exactly. Do you know who I am? When we got there on Saturday, there was really nothing set up. They were still working to get the cameras still set up and angled correctly.
Mm-hmm. People were working frantically behind the scenes, trying to troubleshoot at the entire time we were meant to be live. Like, there was all this struggle with the limited bandwidth that's available at the Oregon Convention Center as far as the Wi-Fi. And of course, the Tetris World Championships are streaming at the same time. And so they're sucking up all the Wi-Fi and there's like none left for Blockbuster. So while that frantically is going on, and then I've got the mic and there's, you know, the contestants are sitting around kind of just like waiting their turn. And I'm like, well, we were brought here to host, so maybe we should try to host.
Right.
So I'm going around like, we had a few trivia questions and we gave away a few t-shirts, and I'm like asking people to, what are your predictions for how you're going to do on the game? And what are your memories of Blockbuster? And then just like eventually we never could get the stream to work. And it was just kind of like trying to bail water out of a sinking ship. And eventually we're just like, let's give up on the stream. And we just kind of called it a day and went home.
Well, and by that time, you know, you've got two big screens on either side that should have gameplay, right? For the people in the crowd, for the people sitting in the chairs in the crowd, they didn't even have that set up. So you have people sitting in these chairs, kind of looking at all of the individual smaller TVs, trying to make out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of why we lost a lot of people that just like got up and left.
Yeah, visually there was nothing. And like as entertaining as we try to be, I mean, that was fighting a losing battle.
Right. Correct.
Could put sprinkles on a turd, but it's still a turd.
Might be a prettier turd, but
we made it the best turd we could.
Right. But the one thing I will say is that, you know, we were heard from the people that matter. And there was a huge difference between Saturday and Sunday. So getting there on Sunday, I got there a little bit early. And there was already an entire team that was working on it to make sure that it worked exactly how it needed to. And one guy in particular who was kind of running the technical side of things kept coming up to me and asking like, okay, so what do we need here? Like, what do you want to see on this screen? And it felt a little bit like we had some input in order to make it what it needed to be.
Of course.
And so as a result of that, we were able to get really good internet connection. And it was ready to go. The scenes were just as Ducks made them. So they were also on point, and they set up this whole entire other system that was had this really cool piece of technology that I wanted to steal and take home. But and so it was ready. And then what I think, you know, we talked about this after the fact, after Saturday, we got together, had some dinner, and we're just kind of, you know, brainstorming on what the next day could look like. And the idea was kind of brought up that why don't we just do a mini episode of Gamers Week for folks? You know, let's talk about a topic and do what we normally do. And we decided that we wanted some crowd interaction. So, you know, we were talking about something in particular and then said, hey, what do you guys think about this? And I think that really, really did well with these folks. At first, Blue, I think you went out into the crowd to ask them for their opinion. But when we did another topic for that, we actually asked them to come up on stage so that the camera that points out on the crowd, they were right there for the live stream. And I think we just started to kind of catch a flow.
Well, since we're all frozen in indecision, is there anyone out there in the crowd who would like to come up and share their games? Come on down.
Yeah, what is your favorite game of all time and why?
And or, what do you think is the most important
game? Yeah, we could say. Yeah, what do you think is the most important game?
So come on up to the stage if you have some insight.
Past 30 years. Past 30 years. 1993 and
up. Looks like we got somebody coming up on the stage.
Yep. And we can face this way and we'll get you on this camera. All right, what's your name?
My name is Glenn Case.
All right, and what do you think, Glenn?
I would have to go with Super Metroid. It was one of the first ones that came to my mind. The reason, thank you, we got some clapping right there. There's a reason that we have the term Metroidvania, and I think a lot of that comes from the first Metroid is incredibly, you know, influential. But the changes that they made within that second one, I think are, that they're stellar. It really, again, there's an entire genre that's, you know, after. And I think that it counts. It's within the 30-year radius.
Yeah, I think so.
It's close.
Are you going to actually
We'll give you the benefit of the doubt. They're
94.
There we go.
All right,
perfect.
All right.
Perfect.
So that's what you think is the most important. What do you think about your favorite?
Well, that is a tougher question. Instead of like that, one of the ones that I think that is wildly called one of the worst games ever, and it's not as bad as people call it, is E.T. for the Atari 2600.
I agree.
I am the world record holder on that game.
Excellent.
Oh, congratulations.
So, yes.
8.5 hours of gameplay in order to actually get to the point where I did that. And there are plenty of games, even on the Atari, that there's no way I would have played them for 8.5 hours. But that one, yeah. No.
As soon as you know it's a cube, the whole thing changes.
It makes so much. The fact that it's a cube, the fact that you have to find the place where you can phone home, like, really, it is an exceptional thing. The fact that Howard Scott Warshaw was able to put that together in 5.5 weeks,
right,
when most developers were only given 3 to 4 months to make a game, is incredible, honestly.
Amazing.
I think
I
wouldn't call it, but to me, it has a personal thing because of the fact that it's like, dude, I have the world record on it. And then I went home after meeting Howard Scott Warshaw and I got the world record for Yar's Revenge as well.
Excellent.
Which was another 8.5. I'm no longer the world record holder on that. Someone saw my video and they were inspired to try to beat it, and they beat me on that. So I'm not even mad about taking a second place on that.
There you go.
Love that.
That's awesome. Yep. So I think at this point, Howard Scott Warshaw should be on your Christmas cards.
Yeah, no, and it was funny because, thank you, I wanted to challenge him to a game of Joust. And he said, Joust really isn't my game, but how about Robotron? We played Robotron. He destroyed me. I've never been happier to lose a game. As
there
it turns out,
it
makes good games, but quite a good video game player.
Love
as well.
So, love it. We've actually had the pleasure of having Howard on the show as well. We're huge fans of the men. So that absolutely.
Episode 12, if you want to go back and listen. Shameless self-plug, of course,
receipts.
Of course.
And I've attempted to, I don't know if I'll make it into the top 16, but I am competing because my wife said, like, maybe you should try to compete. So I said, okay. So, and she's smart, so.
Always listen to your wives.
Wives are always smarter than us.
Shout out to Rachel.
Shout out to Rachel. All right, thank you so much.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we gave the audience a reason to stick around because I think at this point they still really couldn't see the games because things weren't working perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But we gave them a reason, we hope, to stick around and stay engaged with the Blockbuster World Video Game Championship. And then it was also fun when we were doing trivia, mm-hmm, and you were running around in the crowd because we said we'd ask the questions and then raise your hand if you know the answer, and somebody would raise the hand, and I was like, oh, Ryan, there's this person over on the right side of this stage, and he'd kind of hustle over there. I was like, oh no, Ryan, now there's somebody on the left side of the stage. Better go use those arms.
I was getting my steps in, that's for sure. I checked at the end of the day and I had over 2 hours of exercise.
Very nice.
According to my Apple Watch. So,
yeah, I shouldn't be allowed to have that kind of power.
I agree.
Dance, monkey, dance.
But I think we were able to kind of close out the show in a way that made us feel really, really good about how it turned out. Saturday, what can you do when you have technical difficulties? There's not a whole lot that we could have maybe done differently. But Sunday was just such a win, I think, for us.
Sunday went so much better and smoother than Saturday. And you're right. The crowd interaction, our engagement with them, not only with the trivia, but with the little mini episode that we put on. Mm-hmm. In my personal opinion, we killed it. Having a live session like that, it's just like now. Just like us being together across the country, but we were together in person, being able to look at each other and kind of like gauge your emotion or feeling on a topic or subject that we were discussing. I think that's much more intimate than what we're able to do now over the internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, I really, really appreciated. We had so many patrons and other friends at the show, and they sat there in the crowd and helped us out and cheered us on and laughed at our jokes and were so supportive the whole time. And they absolutely didn't need to be. There was so much else going on, but they stuck with us, and that meant the world, especially on Saturday when we were just bombing.
For sure. And it's nice to know that the community that we have is one that, you know, we come together for moments like this. So it was great to see. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ryan, I know you're no stranger to video game conventions and their prices. And Blue, you're not mm-hmm. either, because you went to Midwest Gaming Classic earlier this year and then now at PRGE. What do you guys think about the prices that some of these vendors have for their things? Do you think they're a little bit outrageous? Do you think they're a little bit predatory on those people who need that dopamine hit that, like, oh my God, it's this game. I got to have it right now. It's right here in front of me. Yeah, I know it's $200 above price charting, but I just need it.
For this one in particular, I hate to say this, but because of the amount of energy that I was putting into the Blockbuster World Video Game Championships, I did absolutely zero shopping while I was there. Okay. I don't know if you guys noticed, on Sunday, I just peaced out.
No, you completely disappeared. Like, I know Donnie's intro joked about me noping out, but I think Ryan was actually the bigger noper outer.
I just needed to go take a nap. I literally got into my hotel room and passed out. And then around 5 o'clock, I set my alarm for, and I get a message from Blue that says, hey, we're leaving soon. We're in the lobby. I was like, oh, gotta go.
Yeah, because people have been asking me all afternoon, like, where's Ryan? Is he coming to dinner? Where's Ryan? Is he coming to dinner? I was like, I'm not Ryan's keeper. I'll message him.
Right.
And then you weren't getting back to me. And so finally, eventually you did, and solved us having to, like, rock, paper, scissors who had to go up to your room.
He's an adult. Apologize. He can make adult decisions.
Right. Yeah, I didn't. Well, I should say that I went to PRGE with the intention of not really doing any shopping. That's not why I was there. And I have heard right. much about quote unquote convention pricing. So I got a couple of little souvenirs, like some pens and things. But I really wasn't there to buy games. But Donnie, I know you bought several games and you actually had a nice story, have a nice resolution to a story.
Yes, yes. There was a vendor who I met last year. His name is Ben. I don't remember Ben's last name, but last year he was talking about how he was trying to move away from the video game selling business. He said he was probably going to be liquidating his things and yada, yada, yada. Well, I see him again this year, reconnected with him and started talking to him. He's like, yeah, this time I'm actually done. That's why I'm doing 20% off today, 20 to 30% off today. And tomorrow I'll be doing 50% off of games, $20 or less. So that first day I found like maybe six games that I liked and I picked those up for like $60. And then the next day I came back and found some other good deals that I picked up. And I didn't spend a lot of money at PRGE for these games and these deals that I got. But after we had done the episode on Sunday, I went on the floor and did a little bit more shopping. And there was one vendor that I saw who had Mega Man X. And I was like, you know, that's the one game that I don't have for my collection. I love the game. It's not really an expensive game. I think it's like a $25 or $30 game. Most vendors had it for like $33 to $35. This guy had it for $30. I was like, you know what? It's a clean cart, no yellowing or discoloration. I'll go ahead and take it. So I grabbed the cart from him, and there was another vendor that was right next to him, and they were basically sharing the same space. So I go over to the other vendor, and he's got two games that I went to buy. One of them was Batman for the NES, complete in box, and the other one was Rescue the Embassy Mission, complete in box for the Nintendo Entertainment System. So I buy those games, put the stuff in my bag, and walk away, or so I had thought. By the time that we go outside, we relax a little bit, then help Ducks and Red Ox clean up their stuff, get their stuff to their car. We got a preview of the VIP suite, which we relax in for a little bit, and we're able to look down on the peasants spending their money.
Oh, man, the chairs up there.
Oh, so comfortable, right?
Right. By that point in the weekend, our legs, our feet were dying. And then we sat down on these chairs with back support and they were cushioned. And I think all of us were just like, oh.
I want to go to sleep.
Yep.
Which is funny because the picture that you guys took, it made it look like you were all miserable.
But I go back to the hotel room and I start unloading some stuff. And I'm like, I'm missing a game. was like, where did I put Mega Man X? Like, okay. And this backpack that I have has like a gazillion pockets. So I'm like, I'm feeling around for it, feeling for something that maybe seems like a Super Nintendo cart. And I'm not seeing it. So I'm opening up everything, dumping it all out. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, and I start second guessing myself. Did I actually buy Mega Man X? I was like, yeah, of course I did. I handed the guy like $30. Well, I just kind of resolved the fact that, like, oh, well, I left Mega Man X sitting on the vendor table. No big deal. I'll just, you know, go up and pick it up maybe on eBay for a cheaper price. Well, I get back home. I'm on Facebook and I'm a part of this group on Facebook that I see the name of this person that sold me the Batman and the rescue things. And I was like, oh my God, okay, let me reach out to him. Let me send him a message and see if he actually remembers me and if I had left the Mega Man X cart on his table. And he's like, yo, yeah, man, we looked for you for like 20 minutes. My buddy who the vendor was that you bought it from, he actually has it. Like, we went out on the floor and looked for you for 20 minutes, but he's got the cart. Go ahead and hit him up. So I messaged him. He's like, yeah, man, I've got it. So as long as you pay for shipping for me to get it to you, I'll go ahead and mail it out. It's just going to be a couple days because we're dealing with, you know, the PRG aftermath. But yeah, we still have it and we'll get it right over to you.
Aw.
So Mega Man X, you're coming home.
Yes. Or as Ryan said earlier in the Discord, faith in nerd humanity restored.
Yeah.
Mega, you're coming home.
So, to sum up, what do we learn from hosting the Blockbuster World Video Game Championships for?
I think moving forward, we have to plan that nothing's going to work. So what are we going to do when nothing works? I think that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. We improvise?
Yeah, we improvise. But still having some kind of like, all right, this is what I would do in this situation, right? Like a mini episode, for example.
Right.
I'm fine with that. Trivia, but have the trivia questions ready. Like, because at one point, I think, Dottie, you were going, just give me a trivia question off the top of your head, and I blanked.
We consulted an article that was like, oh, trivia questions from easiest to hardest, and they were all softballs.
Right.
I'm just like, man, we can't ask these questions. And I found another article that had some pretty, I wouldn't say obscure, but they were a little bit more difficult. And I felt a little better asking those questions than the other ones.
I was super impressed with the crowd with the trivia piece to this, because I think there was only maybe two questions they didn't get the entire time.
Yeah, I think so. A couple of them. Mm-hmm.
And one of them I knew right when you said it. So I was surprised nobody else got it. And it was the Missile Command one.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back at PRGE, if we were asked to come back and do this again on a grander scale, would you guys do it?
I would if we were given the opportunity to have a little bit of control over it.
Barring the technical issues, barring yeah. All that stuff, if it went smoothly, mm-hmm. would you guys do it again?
I would, because I think I had such a good time with you guys.
Yes.
A very reluctant yes.
Right.
Well, here's my thought. We had a blast hosting it. Obviously, having done it once, we all have a lot of thoughts that ways we think it could be improved and ways I think we'd like, if we were asked to go back and do it again, ways I think we would like to be able to be involved in the prep mm-hmm. of it to help make sure that it was a smooth experience. But, you know, PRGE is so much fun on its own that mm-hmm. even if we didn't do it again, I would love to just go and hang out with you guys.
For sure.
Absolutely. Even if we didn't get to do the Blockbuster Video Game World Championships again, I would still be up for the idea of having our own table.
Yes.
Being able to do a high score challenge with one, two, or three games and having something that we could give away at the end of the day. I would be all for that.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think PRG is going to be a staple of what we do.
I think so as well.
I would like to believe that.
And if somebody like Donnie wants to win the lottery, we can go pretty easily, right?
Right. I'd fly anybody who wants to go out there.
Anybody?
No, not anybody. Let me scale that back. Actually, cut that because, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thank you for listening to episode 94 of Gamers Week Podcast, and a big thank you to the Retro Game Club Podcast, @loveretrobtw, and A Gamer Looks at 40 Podcast for sponsoring this episode. Don't forget to check out their links in the show notes. If you want to connect with Gamers Week, follow us on Twitter @GamersWeekPC. Email us at GamersWeekPodcast@gmail.com. Watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv/GamersWeekPodcast. Visit our merch store at gamers-week-podcast.creator-spring.com. Or if you want to do it the easy way, email us and we can order things for you. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/gamersweek. And finally, since you made it all the way to the end of this episode, please leave us a rating and a review to let us know how we did. We really do value your feedback. And while you're there, consider subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice.
You know, I wouldn't describe your cheeks as ham hocks.
Oh, how would you describe them?
Two big old Christmas hams.
That seems like you're splitting ham hairs there.
Right.
Ham hairs.
Splitting ham hairs.
It's like the honey baked ham. They were sweet. They were supple.
Oh, and a little crispy on the edges?
A little. Well, on that note, good night, everyone. Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.
What an excellent day for a very important poll.
Welcome to Gamers Week Uncut.
Welcome to Gamers Week Uncut.
Welcome to Gamers Week Uncut, patrons with benefits. This is the unscripted, patron-only bonus cast with less editing and more dirty jokes. We don't know where the conversation will go, but we're sure it will be weird.
This fish just went right on my nipple, and I'm just like...
I Google Street Fighter 6. The first search result that comes up is people think they can see Ryu's dick in the Street Fighter 6 reveal.
Listen up here, kids. You're not going to want to get one of those VDSTDs things, right? Make your dick fall off. When you go, grab a pro. You'll be doing it for America.
That was perfect.
If you want to hear weekly episodes of our patron-only bonus cast, join us at patreon.com/gamersweek.